experiencing the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives is valuable and unforgettable. And it's our hope as Freedom Church that you will experience that in our services. Pastor Tim challenges us today. When was the last time you experienced that in your personal life?
Well, I just want y'all to remember Brother Chris out of Cadus and that joy. I know Chris lost his mom this past week. So I just want you just remember them. But we have somebody in the church with us. She was here a couple weeks ago, but Joey Grace is here today. Brother Caleb and Danielle, we always like to show the other babies off. And here's little Joey Grace. I wish Miss Lang was here today, where I can introduce her. She was here last week for the first time for many, many, many weeks because of health, but she's not here today. But I hope she's doing well, and she'll be back with us. Well, my experiences in China have been amazing. Just want to just talk to you a little bit about it. The people are so wonderful and inviting. You know, we're like rock stars. I told someone. You go up to the church, and one time there was a full a band for us, and we had to walk through this band, and I, of course, walked very humbly. And I was going, yeah, hey, I'm doing, yeah. I felt like a rock star. And just for humility, you know. And but seriously, it's almost over the top. It's like they just look so forward of us being there. And just a wonderful time of the joy and the love that they have when we would arrive at the churches. You know, we would get to a church and they would take us over to a side room. It always had some fruit and some juice. And Heidi and I, when we went, we had visited about four or five churches. By the time the fourth church, I was getting a little bit tired of some fruit. You know, I don't eat a lot of fruit. But it just showed how much they loved us and how much they wanted to show what God was doing in their life. You know, they were very strong in the Lord. So it's amazing how strong in the Lord was. And, you know, and they kind of like me, but they especially like Heidi. They enjoyed to hear her speak, you know. And I would get up to speak and they were like, yeah, but when she would get up to speak, they would just like lighten up. It kind of hurt my feelings a little bit, but I got over it as the week went on. I'm kidding. But it's just their joy that they had for Jesus Christ. You know, going into a place where God had almost been just stamped out, seemed like. You know, that's all we hear, that God has been stamped out there. And to witness and to know what God is doing is something powerful and something strong that encourages my heart. That's the reason I encourage our mission trip. So people often say, well, why can't you just do something around here? And we do. But it's great to get away outside of your comfort zone, outside of yourselves into something that you haven't never seen before. It's amazing. You know what? Let me let you in on something. There's other people out there. You know? We are Americans sometimes think that we're the only one that exists and the only one that matters. Guess what? Let me let you in on something again. There's other people overseas, you know? Because we have that tendency, I have that tendency to think that we're the only ones that matter in this world. You know, the church was filled with hungry people for God's word. How do you agree with that? James, wherever you are, I know you agree with that. They're hungry for God's word. When we place God's word in their hands, they were hungry for a spirit. They was hungry for something to move in them. They desired a move of the Lord in their lives. They wanted it. They desired it. You know, sometimes I think they know more about the moving of the Holy Spirit than we do here in America now. Amen. You know, I think they know a little bit more about what the move of the Holy Spirit is, a little bit more in some of those places that we visit than what I do. It was amazing to watch. One of the wonderful stories, and we've shared this before, but a lot of you don't know this, and their name is Jenny. You know, when the brother Wendell began to go to China and distribute Bibles within the government churches there, and began that, he needed a translator. And so, you know, he called a somewhere there, and she's really a tourist agent that would take people around, but she speaks very good, you know, English. She sees it better than I do. And I enjoy when she would translate for me. I get hung on a word, stuttering, and she would, yes, she would do it. She never did a stutter. I wanted her to stutter one time, just for the sake of it. But it was interesting that she was assigned to Brother Wendell, and they went out into the rural areas is where we would go usually. And they had to take the train. You know, when you get on those trains, those are those bullet trains. I mean, you're just, whew, you know. And we would fly on one for 3.5 hours going, whew. So I don't know how far we went, but that's a long way. And so they went out way out into the rural area, and they would ask us to say a few words of encouragement. And the brother, Wendell, you know, by then he's, you know, he's a 70, a 69 or 70 years old. And he, you know, called way out of life. He was in the Billy Graham Association for many years, and God called him to this ministry. And so he was given a word of encouragement, and he got emotional in one of the part that he was saying. And he noticed that Jeannie translated it the same way, that she got really emotional also at the very same time when she translated it. And so he kind of made a mental note of it, and on the way back on the train ride back into the city, he asked her, he said, "Jenny, even there's one or two things. It's either you are very good and you move with emotion when I move with emotion, or something touched you. Which one was it?" She looked at him and says, "Something touched me. What was it?" And at that moment, he began to witness to her about the power and the love of Jesus Christ, and how the Holy Spirit had moved her heart. And now, to see her life and being with us this past year was just wonderful, how God is working. The Holy Spirit is working. Sometimes we think that He's not, but the Holy Spirit is doing a work when we don't know that He's really doing something. Will you agree with that? Well, we get so focus on an issue, on a problem, and we think we have to figure it out ourselves. We think that we have the answer to it, and we think we have to do it all. But in the background, I believe this. There was a study back in the 90s called A Spirit in God. If I got anything out of that study, was that Jesus and the Lord is working behind in the background. And He's making all things good, all things new. The Holy Spirit is working. And my quest today is for us to take a look at the move of the Holy Spirit, or the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives as believers. Turn with me to John chapter 16. Got a lot of verses here to read today. But I just want us to get in our hearts again. When is the last time that we had a really a moving of the Holy Spirit in our heart? Something that we can say, "Thank you, Lord, I've heard from you." Something that has moved us. When was that last time? John chapter 16. It says, "I have said these things to you to keep you from a stumbling. They will put you out of the synagogues, and indeed an hour is coming when those who kill you will think that by doing so they are offering worship to God. And they will do this because they have not known the Father or me. But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you. But now I am going to Him who sent me, yet none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if you do not go away, Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send Him to you. And when He comes, He will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears, and He will declare to you the things are to come. He will glorify me, Because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. That's a good word, isn't it? It's a powerful word this morning. What a revelation to the followers of Jesus Christ. He starts with a warning to them. He says, listen to me. You have to give this for a moment here of that what they had gone through. He says, you're going to be put out of the synagogues. Well, you're going to be put out of the synagogues. You know, I believe the disciples needed fellowship, and they were thinking to themselves, I don't want to be put out of the synagogues. I enjoy going to the synagogues. But if you're going to believe in me, there's things that are going to begin to transpire in your lives. You're going to be alone. You will be killed by those who think that they're doing right. You're going to be killed because these people think that they are doing the right thing. And they're going to bring you to death. I've said these things to you to keep you from stumbling. The Lord has given us a warning. Let me ask you this question. Do you feel alone in this journey? Sometimes a lot of Christians feel alone within the journey. That you feel like there's no one else around. There's no one else going through what I'm going through. There's nothing else that my situation is a lot worse than that situation. And that you feel alone in this journey of walking with Jesus Christ. I'm sure that the disciples did. I'm sure there are times that they felt alone. But Jesus, so caring and loving, is making sure that he will warn them. I don't think I need to warn us today, but I will. The devil is after our souls. There's a spiritual darkness that is after our souls. He is so subtle that one day you wake up, and I say this often, how did I get here? Is that there's a move within the church today to take truth and begin to skim it a little bit, to skew it a little bit, to make it sound a little bit better, where it doesn't offend anyone. The spiritual darkness is trying to, in a subtle way, lead us to a place that we don't even know what truth is anymore. That we don't even understand truth when it hits us. You know, it's oftentimes a book will come out, I was reading something that someone has shared, and you know, that we read a book after book after book, and that there are subtle ways that some of these Christian, I don't think they're necessarily doing it on purpose. I think they think it's truth. Subtle ways that they put stuff in the books that we read that's not even biblical. Amen. And the sad part of that is we don't even recognize it. That we don't even recognize it. You go on social media and there's likes on things. I go, why are you liking that? That's heresy. That would be 900,000 likes on something. I'm going, that's not God's word. Amen. And so we've come to the place that the darkness of this world has come into even the church and has helped us to begin to skim away or kind of gloss over what the truth is. This past year, I saw some dear friends fall hard. And pretty much lose everything. Listen to me. I'm here to warn you today. If I'm your shepherd, the hour is coming this year that you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. That the truth is going to be presented to you, or a non-truth is going to be presented to you, and you're going to have to make a decision. Am I going to stand firm, or am I going to fall to the darkness of this world? And as your shepherd, as someone that loves you, and I pray for you, I'm giving you a warning. The Lord said today, warn them as I warn my disciples. That I'm here to tell you, I don't want you to stumble. Jesus told his disciples, I don't want you to stumble. I don't want you to go down a road that's going to be bad, that you wake up and go, how did I get here? I don't want to see that happen to you. And so here today, I'm here to try to, as your shepherd, to say that the hour is coming. This year, you will be tempted and tried. And you may be dealt something that you think, oh Lord, I can't deal with this. Might be a moment this year that something is so strong and so powerful in your life, you say, I don't think I can deal with this. It just might be your year. And you might have to ask yourself, how am I going to I deal with this? How will I handle these things? How can I keep pressing on? As Jesus was saying to his disciples, and they didn't know. They were confused. A lot of times they would ask question after question, and where are you going? We don't understand this language. You know, there's a lot of things I don't understand. Will you agree with that? I don't know why God chooses to heal someone and doesn't heal someone else. I don't know the answer to that a lot of times. All the answer I can say is that in God, in His wisdom, knows what He's doing. I just trust His heart. I trust His heart. You're going to be faced, and I'm going to be faced with things that I'm going to have to make some hard decisions on. I don't want to stumble as a pastor, but most of all as a husband and as a father and as a pastor. And you say, so what is the answer to all this? What's the answer? Well, let's listen to God's word. And what I want us to really see today, let's don't run to other things. Let's run to His word. You know? Let's get back running to His word. Let's get back to, what's God's word say? What does it say about it? We have a tendency to run everywhere to find out the answer to things. And when we're faced with something, well, let me go this. And I'm not saying all those things are bad, because those things are good and they can help us. But in the center all of it should be God's word. You say, well, how do I know what is a truth? Well, what did He say to the disciples? But I have said these things to you so that when their hour comes, you may remember that I told you about them. I did not say these things to you from the beginning because I was with you, but now I'm going to Him who sent me. Yet none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Do you have sorrow in your heart today? Do you have sorrow in your heart today? Maybe you say, a pastor, it's already this year, it's very young. But I've been at the tested. I've been at the tried already. That I've been faced with situations that I have to make a decision on. I have their situations in my life. There's temptation in my life. But as Steve said it right, he says, you know what? I've been clean for 2.5 years now. He says, but I know that drugs and that alcohol, they're still over there. And the thing is, they're still calling His name. And they will continue to call His name. But I'm a firm believer that Brother Steve is anchored in Jesus Christ. And God is living within him. And like he said, he knows where his Redeemer, who his Redeemer is. He knows where his power comes from. So what are you hearing there? He says, I know this. I know this. I know this. I don't believe the lies. Understand? I've come to a place that I know. Not here, but I know here. I remember when Grayson, if he was here today, when he was up and down with the whole drug of the culture, and we would minister to a Grayson, and you know, we think we have him right where we had him, you know, and Grayson, I wish he was here, I could pick on him, he's not even here. And he would fall off the wagon a little bit. See, because Grayson had it here. He hadn't moved to here yet. But boy, when it moved to here, my goodness, he began to live. He began to have victory. He began to have victory in his life. So most of us, we fight the battles of our life, knowing that we think we know God's word, that we read His word here, but we hadn't allowed it to change us, to move us down in here. And I believe it's the power of the Holy Spirit that begins to manifest God's word within us. That He begins to manifest His word in us. Jesus says, if I go away, I'm not going to leave you alone. Isn't that good news? Yeah. I'm not going to leave you alone. You know, you think I'm going to come and walk with you and love on you and be here with you, and I'm going to leave and not send somebody to help you, to lead and guide, direct you? He said, I'm going to send a comforter. Someone that is a Greek that stands in that moment when I leave this earth and the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit comes, He's going to be able to show you the way. Instead of me just being along with you and 12 disciples, guess what? The whole world. Every person can have access to me. Have access to me. Let me ask you this question. What excuse do we have? What excuse do we have if we do not follow Jesus the way He calls us to? What excuse do I have if I do not follow Jesus Christ the way He has called me to follow Him? It says here in God's Word, it says that when He comes, He will approve or convince the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. In other words, He says when the Holy Spirit comes, is He's going to bring things to light. Is that He's going to convince us of sin. He says that they will not believe in me, but God's way is not the world's way. But when the Holy Spirit is the one to point out the sin. You know, there was a time in the church, and I think some of it might have been worked up, and maybe some of it wasn't. I think it was legitimate, because I know in my life it was a legitimate. Is this is how far we have come. Is that we here in the United States, we've heard God's Word so much that I think we just kind of go, oh, that sounds good.
Very good.
Good. But if you go to a place that I've gone to and they hear God's Word, it just moves them. I'll ask you again. I'll ask myself. When's the last time that you opened up this Word and it moved you? That you just went, whew, Lord, forgive me. Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, there's the answer. I've been seeking Your face, and I've been patiently waiting, and one morning in a devotional time, you begin to read God's Word, and there it is. There it is. And so we think often that we are the ones that have to condemn the world. We're the ones that has to point people's sin out. That we're the ones that have to say these things. And yes, and when we speak of the truth, what God calls me to do, what He calls you to do, is to be truthful with people, to speak truth, bring love to people and speak truth in love. And guess what? When the Holy Spirit's here, He's going to be able to use it. He's going to be able to bring that conviction. He doesn't call us to be the convictor. You know? He doesn't. He doesn't have to call me to point out every one of your sins. He doesn't call me to do that. But what He does call me is to be truthful to His Scripture and to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying with me. And so when Jesus Christ comes in, His Spirit comes in. And He's able to convince me of my sin. The Holy Spirit will do the convincing in my life. You know, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And it never gets old when someone I see faces the cross for the first time. What happens? Let me tell you what happens. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That's what happens. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. When we do our Easter play, the Spirit is moving, and the people are, that's the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives, using us. And my question for us is that we've gotten so far away from the work of the Spirit in our lives that we just go along, you know? And we miss out on so many things is we jump from one conference to the next conference to the next conference. We jump from this book. Have you read this book? And you know me, I read books. And I'm not saying you not to read books. My point is that we're so good about what Bastion says about the Holy Spirit, but we really don't even know what the Bible says about the Holy Spirit. That's where we've come. A lot of times, that's where we have come. I'm sure he's a good, fine man of God. And I'm sure that his books can enhance my walk with the Lord. But once again, we've come to the place that these books have taken a place of really what God's Word should be doing in our lives. You might say that, Tim, are you down on reading books? You know I'm not, because I read them. Sometimes I'm reading some of them, and this might sound, you know, like you think you know it all. It's not at all. Sometimes I'm reading a book, and I go, oh, hush, no. Yeah, have you ever been there reading a book? You know, one of these Christian books, you go, no. Then the next chapter, you go, wow, that's good. That's biblical. I like that. But it feeds my soul. We preach the truth, and we live the truth, and let the Holy Spirit do everything else. Is that deal? And let the Holy Spirit do everything else. You know, He's capable. He's capable. Jesus says He's capable. If I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He is capable. It never gets old when someone comes to know Jesus. He convinces us of Christ's unrighteousness. Are you sensing a theme here that it's not us again? The Holy Spirit, He is convincing us of Christ, His righteousness. We have to come to the place that there's nothing we can do to make us righteous and make us holy. There's not anything that I can do. I can't do step 1, 2, 3, 4, and all of a sudden I'm righteous. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm made righteous. Amen. And I'm redeemed. But the Holy Spirit does a work within us. And He teaches us and He shows us the way of our righteousness. It's a work of the Spirit. He shows us that it did Jesus on the cross and His righteousness and His holiness that comes from the shedding of blood. Judgment is coming. Judgment is coming. Even me as a pastor, I probably don't preach enough on that the judgment one day. We'll stand before the Lord one day. We will stand before Jesus one day. We will stand before Him one day. We will. And when we stand before Him, I really want Him to look at me and say, a good and faithful servant. Good and faithful servant. But we, as a church in general, if we do not come back to the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives to take us into a maturity, to guide us and to show us truth, the country we live in will never be what we think it should be. Our homes will never be what we think it should be. Because it's called a compromise a lot of times in homes. It's called a compromise. Let me ask you this question. Wind down here. If you're the leader of your home, whatever that is, you sense in your spirit that you shouldn't allow this in your home. You're saying, did I just come up with that? No, I believe that the Holy Spirit is speaking to your heart because you know His Word. Will you say amen to that?
Amen.
You shouldn't allow this in your home. But the battle is a little strong with whomever in your home. Boy, that's gonna. I had one parent years ago says, you know, Tim, it's just not worth the fight. Let me tell you something, it's worth the fight. It's worth the fight. It is. It's worth it. It's when you put a stake in the ground and says, you know, for me and my house, we're gonna serve the Lord. It's worth it. It's worth it. You might say, whew, when I do, my goodness, The Lord might call you some things. You go, now, hold on now. I remember Brother George Brooks. Daddy preached on country music one Sunday. I loved it. No, I preached on country music one Sunday about some lyrics or something. Brother George came out, he says, Brother Tim, I love you. Well, you leave my country music alone. What a wonderful man of God. He really was. But I do believe the Holy Spirit wants to make a move in our lives. And as I finish up here, this wonderful scripture, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Listen to this word. It's beautiful. For He will not speak on His own, but will speak whatever He hears. And He will declare to you the things that are to come. Listen, the Holy Spirit will glorify me. Jesus saying He will glorify me. Because He will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that is the Father has is mine. For this reason I said that He will take what is mine and declare it to you. And if the Holy Spirit is living within your life, if the Holy Spirit is moving within you, guess what? Your life is going to glorify Jesus. Your life is going to glorify the Lord. Is that you don't, you're not going to have to be asking, I'm sorry that I said it that way. I'm sorry that I did it this way. I'm sorry that I took advantage of you. I'm sorry that I did this and this. If the Holy Spirit is working within you, your life will glorify Jesus. Because He's going to lead us to all truth. You said, I don't know some of the answers, Sam. I'm young in the Lord. Praise God. I love young Christians. You're just starting your journey. And it's beautiful to watch. And the Holy Spirit is going to be able to speak to you and be able to lead you into all things. He will declare all things to you in His time. Spirit-filled life is a wonderful life. But we got to come to the place that we recognize the Holy Spirit. Do you even recognize Him? Do you recognize Him? Has it been so long that you have really even sensed the moving of the Lord within you? That you don't even know, you don't even notice His voice anymore? You don't recognize His voice anymore. You go, is that really a God or is that something that I ate last night? Seriously. Listen to me. You cannot live in sin and spend the Holy Spirit a stick around. It's not going to happen. Not going to happen. You can't dabble and spend the Holy Spirit just to hang around. In counseling, I like to put it this way. When husband or wives are not getting along, it's like when we act to someone, it's almost like I say to the Holy Spirit, I say, Holy Spirit, you come in. I'm going to put you right here for a minute. I got this one. And we walk back over here and the Holy Spirit's over there and say, I got it. And we make the biggest mess out of it, don't we? Biggest mess out of it. Think about we allow the work of the Holy Spirit within us. That we're listening and we're moving when He says move. What a life. Those decisions that we were going to make, we don't make. Those decisions that we should make, we make. Because we understand truth, because the Holy Spirit is revealing it to us. He reveals this to us in so many ways. Within a sermon, within a song, within a book that we're reading. But most of the time, I believe, just pure reading His Word. Just purely just getting down with God's Word and just reading. Saying, Lord, you said you would declare all things. Here I am. I'm sitting before you. Declare those things to me. Last August, when Heidi and I traveled to China, it had been over 3 years since I've been to China. I met Jeannie 3 years later. Thanks for years. Thanks for having me. I watched her from the first time I met her to the second time I was there. First time, a new convert, a believer, didn't know much about the word. The second time, she was spouting scripture off, and you could just sense the move in her heart. You could sense the love for Jesus. You could just sense that it had grown and matured into something. Did that happen overnight? No. But what she did, she allowed the work of the Holy Spirit in her. She allowed the Holy Spirit to do something. Nazarenes call it sanctification. Moving us onto holiness and on into maturity. One more time. When's the last time that God has moved in our hearts? Has really moved us? That's my question for us today. We should stand. And as we begin to sing this, I know we should run and out real fast. I just want you to take this as a very important time. Take a moment just to hear God's word, to listen to His word as they sing. Let it soak in today. And this altar is open.